of making prices. They, what they are bigger, they're able to sell so much and able to swallow the smaller one, as MMPs. Those are the issues that were raised quite vigorously. There were those people that were in business for 25 years or small, in other aspects. Mr. Food, Mr. Darkot, we can name them. They talk to from their heart what things they change their lives, what things that are bothering them. And it seems that we can learn a lot from them. They're really very, very interested in the issue of changing of things now in terms of supporting the bill. But to say it's not enough, but I think this is a start in the right direction to them. They foresee that we really sacrifice their things. I mean, example, they are saying small, like ShopRite and whatever, they go to township, they close spazas by just coming to them. Because we end up stopping to buy one egg now, we buy, what you call it, dozen of eggs, not one, because they're able to supply one egg at a particular time. If we have one run or 2 runs, we can have that egg and enjoy it. But now we are going to strive to get that 12 rand to buy a dozen instead of buying in one egg. Now it moves most of our people out from the business by two ShopRite and all of that. And issues of malls also, they were raised quite. What is a good change? It's able to make us to have an access without taking a taxi and all of that. We can use that money takes for us, but we didn't look this way that it also kills the spousal and all of that. Now, I think the other matter that we, I think, is quite important. It will show that this bill really is able to deal with heart and mind of South Africans. That's my observation. When you go to organizations, in terms of trade unions and all of that, they are very clear to say it's really we're waiting for this thing for too long. It's quite 20 years is gone after Mandela introduced this bill before, or the same act or us, but now they need to have some kind of change. The issue of wedding, the way they are happy in terms of wedding. I mean, example now, you can talk a lot about ecstasy, you can talk a lot about other matters in terms of changing and able to say this thing is going to assist us in 2021. Excessive price in dealing with those issues to say they should be a normal pricing, they should be able to deal with other matters. I was saying that's what we have learned from that process. It's quite a vigorous one. The input from ourselves, colleagues, I think all colleagues were prepared for that particular, the engagement from them, from all of us, was quite good. And we were able to keep them on toes. And at the end of the day, also they were able, that engagement, we were able to get more information that we needed. It's a question of surely we make sure that we include those comments in what we're dealing with in going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Babu. Beginning. I'm allowing us to talk in general, underchain. Not specifically to, we're going to do it structurally, but for now it's just to hear how people feel about that thing. I mean, felt about that thing. Or during the 2 days we had. Ma'am Polo?
Mina, out of all the deliberations that we did in the group, but what I out of them, or what I think has been, is to say, yes, we are coming with this policy of this bill. But when I look at it closely, there's still a gap where I think still not covering small businesses. why I'm saying so, we tend to say we expect the big companies to do 1, 2, 3, but also there's no something that is really protecting. Let me make an example. I'm a small person, selling some fat cook in a corner. And I've been doing that in that area for such a long time, it has been giving in an income as a small person. Now there comes ShopRite, they open it close to where I am. And instead of ShopRite taking me in and saying, or instead of me, us making sure that these small businesses, they've got a say in the mall by selling those fat cooks inside the mall. We leave it to big companies, they swallow them in, and all of a sudden now in their shops, they are now selling fat cooks. So for me, it's not as fair, because now because they can afford, they can even expand their businesses by taking my business. Instead of saying, can we make sure that in this mall, you are going to take this small, they're going to have just a small cubicle to be able to make that business. That's one of the things that I pick up that I think it's not clear around the bed. I understand the competition and everything, but when we come and open up a bigger business, there's a need that says, we need to be saying to this big business, you are going to absorb people who are selling in the corners so that they can be part of that community. It's a sort of an upliftment for them. At this moment, it's only the competition that we are talking about. It's only the pricing that we are talking about, but we are not looking at the people themselves to grow. What is it that is there to make sure that when we come in as big business, we are not going to close them outside. That is, for me, I've been going around in the world and I've seen that most of the one that I studied very closely because I stayed for a long period was in Japan. You go to shops in Japan, to the mall, you don't get big business there. You get small cubicles where people are selling. You know, they are being given, but in that big mall. In another one that I went to, it was in Tokyo, people that sell food, it's small businesses in those cubicles. So after you bought your clothes or whatever you want to shop, you come in here at the central point where you buy, but you are able to buy from all these small businesses, which when people talk about we need to follow the samples of overseas, they are not talking about, they are only talking about business. They are not talking about that overseas in these countries, small businesses, that's what they are doing about it. They are very quiet because they don't want to promote it. And for me, that's what I think. We don't want to promote our SMEs. We'll talk about that. This is what is happening internationally. But the SMEs internationally, they're also being looked at. In Mexico, where we were sitting in a hotel, for me to polish my shoes, I have to go down there in the hotel, the space where someone is polishing my shoes and I paid, and it's a small business. When you say you need something, they will show you to tell them there's a small person who's selling that. But why are we not doing it here in South Africa? Why are we not making sure that we link with each other in terms of business? At this moment, I don't see it where it's linking. It's only protecting, but there's no linkages to make sure that when business is the norm. And something that puzzles me with us in South Africa, whatever is happening all internationally, we want to copy it, but we can never tell the people that this is what you need to do in South Africa to support business. There's no law that says that. They will tell you now the investors will run away. That's not the truth. That is not the truth.
Okay. The issues you're having, Richard?
Yes, sir.
Are issues in terms of the bill.
Mm.
That should be raised when we deal with public interest issues. But I wanted to get your feel on what transpired during the 2 days. Were you happy with the thing, with how the process went? Or is there somewhere where you feel you need to improve? The people who came, do you think they are representative of people we would have really liked to see or not?
The process went well, but what I pick up, I don't know if it's in the act or where, I'm not so sure. I pick up that when we talk about public, we only speak about businesses. But we did not speak about an ordinary person who comes in and challenges the business. They were, for me, I didn't see the space for that. So I couldn't say it's wrong or right, because I'm not so sure what is happening. But I agree with Section 27. Where is the public? Because what I saw there, it's more, they are public, yes, in a way, but they are business people. Where is an ordinary person who comes and put up, like we normally do on the other thing, who comes and put up what needs to happen for those people? I did not see it. So I'm not so sure whether it's right or wrong, but that's one of the things I think it's lacking in terms of the things.
I think the bill was publicized, so it depends. It was incumbent on anybody. They didn't prohibit anyone from really coming or bringing either a written or an oral submission. I don't think we didn't have that. So it also talks to the education that our competition authorities must do. We've been hammering on this matter, that we need awareness on competition matters. South Africa or South Africans are not really aware. There's frustration around business at the entry level. There's so much frustration. As a result, people are clouding issues. There, I would agree. Any other?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I think generally speaking, one can say we had a fruitful engagement with numerous stakeholders, most of whom were very useful in putting across their views to the committee. I think it is safe to say the majority of the participants there had done their spadework very well, and we were able to sort of understand what they were saying. I think what we also appreciated there was the testimony of many important role players there, who told us about the hard work that happened within the NEDLAC structure, the negotiations, everything that went on there, the compromises and so on. I think that was encouraging, because NEDLAC is a very powerful institution, and it's good to see stakeholders going there and coming out and coming here to report to us that they did speak to each other and they did take certain positions at the end of that process. I think the one area that we observed there, which we may need to look into as we proceed with this process, is what some of the stakeholders kept on referring to as the grey area, when they spoke of the removal of the yellow card. The arguments were not very clear, but there was that complaint about the yellow card, which leads us to something that was strange there, because although I indicated that many stakeholders there paid tribute to the road, to the events within the medley. But as they proceeded with their own presentations, they started moving away from that cordial spirit, the positive spirit of Netland. They started talking their own minds now. At the end of the day, it was very difficult to understand whether they agreed with the positions that were arrived at Netland, or whether they, you know, wanted to push their original positions. So I think, as I'm saying, that the majority of the organizations, the institutions, they had prepared the argument very well, Chairperson, and I think their views will assist us as we proceed to engage on these issues. But there were other institutions that were very difficult to understand, of course. But it's normal in any situation for you to get a diversity of views. Like, for instance, your Sakeliha, the more the gentleman spoke, the more we could not understand what they were saying there. But you know, he was very energetic about what he was doing, but it was difficult to understand him very well. And there are those who said we must give everything time, you know. Allow time to resolve some of these issues. Don't act now. It will create problems for the country. But by and large, Jefferson, it was a respectable process. And I think we also need to thank the leadership of the committee for taking a decision to give the stakeholders sufficient time to speak to us, and sufficient time also for the deliberation, so that at the end of the day, no accusation may be made that people were shut out, you know, they could not speak and so on. So there was sufficient time for everybody, which is a positive thing. And I think the stakeholders also appreciated that, Chairperson. And finally, I think as we proceed with this process, we may have to look at the views of our legal team on some aspects of the discussions and so on, so that should also assist us to begin to formulate certain understanding as we proceed, because the legal aspect must also be taken into consideration. So I think it was a very useful process. We also appreciate the sacrifices that were made by the members. We knocked off very late on the 2 days, but it was worth it. And at the end of the process, I think we were satisfied also with the participation of the members and of the support team as well, Chairperson. So those would be my comments at the moment. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Dr. Kadu.
Thanks, Chair. My comments would be that I think on day one we heard disproportionately from the unions, which is perhaps not surprising given the minister's political affiliations, but I don't think that the voice of big business predominated at all during the public hearings, which I think is an impression created by subsequent letters I've seen in the press. I think we only heard from MTN, Vodacom, I take it, pulled out from giving an oral submission. And I thought we heard from Vodacom, not MTN. That's right. And for Busa itself, I think even you noted, Chair, when they were making their submission, that they seemed strangely kind of reticent or perhaps a bit constrained in articulating the depth of their concerns and criticisms. I recall you saying to them, you know, you must feel free to say whatever you wish. So that's just an observation that perhaps the voice of business wasn't as loud as it's been, we've been given to understand it might have been by certain contributions in the press and such like. I thought it was very interesting to hear from small business people like Mr. Foote. I found his story really interesting and illuminating, his whole battle going right the way to the competition appeal court, I thought was a very interesting story for all of us to take on board. And I think it's right and necessary that we seek ways to empower small business, because I mean that's where the future of economic growth lies. My only concern after the 2 days of public hearings would be to ask the question, well, is the Competition Amendment Bill the right place to achieve that, or is it a case that we should use other legislative mechanisms, for example, to reduce red tape for business, to remove barriers to market entry for small business, to reduce regulatory obstacles for small business. And that speaks to a broader concern around the role of competition policy and competition legislation in particular in driving broader economic aims, which is why I tried to tease that out of Professor Simon Roberts and some of the other competition policy experts, for example, the two gentlemen from Stellenbosch, to try and understand if we perhaps are not running the risk of putting too great a burden on the competition authorities to achieve broader economic outcomes that lie outside of the ambit of competition policy and law. And then finally, my major kind of reservation and concern flowing from the 2 days would be Section 18A on national security. I think we have a very interesting written submission from, a very first submission from the International Bar Administration, which is worth taking on board. And I think we probably, as a committee, might need to spend quite a lot of time on trying to get that section right. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I agree with what Dr. Carter put out there. I think I found it very interesting hearing from Mr. Foote and from other people from small business their negative experiences of sort of anti-competitive behaviour. I think it is quite shocking when you realise what has been done to some of the smaller players, and probably the need to change legislation to provide greater protection for that. I think the other thing that I got out of it was just the great caution on us not to create a lack of clarity or uncertainty with this bill. That came out from the two professors from Stellenbosch as well. Because obviously we don't want to do anything that's going to affect inward investments into this country or local investment if people feel uncertain. And that came from Vodacom's submission as well, where they said that at times they were a little bit unclear as to how they should go about doing certain things and whether or not they'd be breaking the law. And the kind of sanctions that people will be facing as well. So if you're talking about, say, 25% of turnover of a company that's got the size of turnover of Vodacom, it's a huge amount of money if you inadvertently do something that's wrong. So I think that to my mind is something we have to take very seriously in the submissions, and that did come from other people as well, about any uncertainty that might be caused by the law, by the new bill. Because we certainly don't want to create anything that's going to have a sort of a chilling effect on investments in the country. But I was pleasantly surprised by the I suppose by the different parties that we heard. And as Dr. Carter said, we didn't hear a lot from big business. I mean, in essence, it really was Vodacom and MTN. But I think we got some very thoughtful submissions from people like the South African Lawyers Association, and certainly from the academics. And in general, I think most of the submissions were of high quality, so appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you,
Anne.
Any other? Ma'am,
thank you, Chair. I think they've covered everything there, but also I would say my observation is the same as them. They came prepared, majority of them that have the bill. I think one of the things that was not clearly proven was that the bill is too broad. Maybe through the legals of the department they'll be able to assist that in measuring how broad is too broad, what is the meaning of broad in the bill, and also that the bill does not cover the issue of rebate. They are having issues on rebate, but the bill does not cover that. The issue of wedding goods and services, they needed it to be explained, which made sense in any way. I think the observation was that the 2 days was fruitful, and we have learned a lot out of that process. The issue of small business, as mentioned, and the emotional submission by Dasut and Mr. Hood, it was just an eye-opener that says we need to look in those areas. Thank you, Shako.
Thank you very much. The fact that we could not hear anything that left the running of the process wasn't good, I take it that everybody is not satisfied. Thank you for that. I think we will still have time to really look into the issues as raised, and we'll be able at the end of the day to say, as this committee, yes, we had different presentations, we had different submissions, but then what are we saying? What are we taking, and what are we leaving from what we received? We are legislators, given the responsibility by the people to represent them. Even those that are not represented, like Ma'am Fulwe is saying, must find space within us. I hope I'm putting it correctly, those who know English better. They must find that they are represented through us. So that's what I wanted to say. In terms of the way issues that we requested that, for instance, Vodacom should respond to, I wanted to find out from Peter Paul, so that you do the official report, where they responded to.
Chair, I will say at this stage it seems to me that it was partial. There is information that they are supposed to send that is written, that is more detailed, that has not yet come through. There is one that I was just going to forward to you, but it just came in the form of a question that had been put to them, and they are giving a response. But it's clear that the bulk of the information that we would have wanted from them is not yet with us. So I'll say partially so, Chair, with Vodacom. And I cannot really remember if anyone else who's written sending that information, but as it comes through, I'll be reporting on it.
Okay, thanks, Peter Paul. I hope they respond before we conclude the process. Otherwise, whatever that they presented will be taken as their presentation. Thank you so much. Now, members, may we then look at the submission. And we're going to go to various, remember when the department presented to us, they divided the whole bill into four parts. One was on prohibited practices. One was on the structure of markets, competition and public interest outcomes. One was on measures and acquisitions and then institutional improvements. I'd like to hear what members are saying in terms of all the submissions we've received. What is their impression or what are they choosing from that? On prohibited practices. Please let's confine our discussion to that. I'm going to go through that and indicate to you what the department meant.
Prohibited practices cover collusion between firms, abuse of dominance by firms. Broadly speaking, can we deal with that? What did we take from the submission?
Can we go to section 4 and 5? In terms of the minister's submission to us, or the presentation that he gave us, he says they seek to provide greater certainty on what is permitted. What is permitted collaboration and prohibited collusion between competitors, customers and suppliers. This is under the collusion and abuse of dominance. And then I want us to look into that. What is our feeling, broadly speaking, around section 4 and 5? We did get few people saying something around it. and then the Section 8 also, but I want us to start with the Section 4 and 5.
Can we go to our bill? One few minutes maybe to look into that. We can provide that, but then we'll have to look at the whole section, the whole area around abuse of dominance. The changes that or collusive behaviors, we have to look at that and the abuse of dominance. That is their focus one on the prohibited practices. You wanna I'm looking at the submission by the minister just to assist the process. I'm trying to assist you.
In terms of the submission by the minister, Chair, is in our file.
Come again?
The minister's submission in our file.
No, not in our file. I'm just reminding you. The file that we have is submissions, general submissions that we have from different stakeholders. What I'm doing is just to remind you of what the minister's submission said. If we want us to make copies, unfortunately we don't have a committee assistant. What happened to the committee
assistant? You can email it now for long.
Not everybody. We all have our gadgets. Or we can connect to the phone. But I thought perhaps we've gone through our documents, and then we will. When I mention this particular section, we'll all be able to say something in terms of what the people said in terms of their submission. If that is not easy to do, we can recommend an approach so that we are able to deal with this matter. The approach I was trying to put to you was trying to make it easy for us to focus. Hence, I'm referring to the four areas that the minister talked about. But if you want to shoot from any corner, which I think is not going to assist us, we can do so. In terms of, it's not going to assist us in terms of time management. And I think it's going to make it even difficult for the secretary to take, or support staff to take notes. So if you have any suggestions on the approach, either than what I'm suggesting, can we talk to that now? Unless you want some time to really look into your documents and organize yourself. If you want some time, you can provide that time to do so. Dr. Kyle?
Thanks, Chair. I don't have an immediate answer to your question. My question was, since this committee, since I've been on it, hasn't dealt with legislation before, do we have a dedicated legal person taking notes from these deliberations? And how does it work? How does that get fed back into the process of redrafting the legislation? If you could provide some guidance on that for us.
We have 3 days that's allocated for this, for our discussion. Basically what we are doing, yes, we have a legal person next to me, whom I introduced in our last meeting, during the during the public hearing, even on last meeting before the public hearing. So, Obabu Mbulelo Lana is our legal advice for the whole process, or for the duration of our the processing of the bill. We're going to be discussing this over 3 days. Hence, I wanted to give you more time, or we just start now. But I needed us to have a correct approach so that we are able to be at ease. How we dealt with the infrastructure thing is different from this one, because obviously they are different. That was a new bill coming to the committee, but you were not there, all of you. It is something that I presided over during the last term, which is the fourth parliament. Right now, what we were thinking is that we just discuss the presentations with reference to what the object of the bill, what the bill is intended to do. What's going to happen afterwards? We're going to be taking everything as we discussed back to the minister. The minister looks at that and then comes back next week to give us his response to what we say. From there, we discuss. We go back, discuss what the minister has given us, now outside the minister now. And then from there, we have our legal people then drafting. Or before that, we do clause by clause. And after clause by clause, we have the minister again responding, and then we do the first consideration of the bill, and then the bill we write a report on the bill. So that is what we're going to be doing. So for the consideration is by the committee, not by the thing, and then we write a report to the legislature.
What are the
time frames?
When will we approve
that clause and we come back
from the
readers? Yes. No, the clause by clause is before recess. The report is the one that we're going to be looking at after the minister, because the minister is going to be looking at that just immediately. Actually, we've changed. We had said after, but now the minister is going to do it immediately before we go on recess.
What
date? The 20 something, isn't it?
19
or 20. No, it can't be next Wednesday.
Yeah,
you mean the constituency period?
Yes.
Yes. Venetia is not here.
No, the information is right. The parliament will rise at the end of the next week. We'll just ask for permission for those 2 days after next week to do the clause by clause deliberation and the response by the minister.
Okay.
And then,
yeah. All right. That's the 18th.
The 18th and the 19th.
And the 19th.
Yeah.
Oh, the before the 24th. Yes. That we have the 24th, because the previous program was saying after. Yeah, but then we are anticipating to finish everything on the 9th of October. So that's when we would finalize the report. But I don't know where you were taking us from with the question.
I was just trying to get an idea of exactly when we intend to debate the bill in Parliament.
Well, it will be decided upon by the legislature, but we have submitted our proposal on that. We just told them we'll be done by the by the 9th of October. That's when we'll be submitting. So they will then decide when they put us. You know, the programming committee keeps on changing, so we don't know, we wouldn't know. But they will notify us on time. Okay. On the process now, please, I need your comments, I need your help. If you're comfortable with me giving you time to really relook into the organizing yourselves, we can do so. If you want to start now shooting with the contribution towards this discussion, please do so.
Shay, could we have 20 minutes just to review the submissions on the two sections that you want us to look at, which are 4 and 5 and 8, if I'm not mistaken?
Why do you say 20 minutes to yourselves, no?
Hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Are you okay with that? Members? Talk to me. Your faces are looking, you know?
Thanks, Chair. I said it's correct, the proposal, but I wanted to try with the workable ones.
With what?
To come with the workable solutions and our quagmires. Now, my view, I think it's important because if you're going to look section 4 and 5, and then you follow also the proposal that we're having here on our public hearing. I think it's important because I think this 90 minutes won't do that justice. 20 minutes. What will do justice is you're able to say, because you must go to those issues raised between section 4 and 5, and able, even if we write them, and able we talk to them at the particular time, when it's needed. But now you're not going to stick to section 4 and 5. Now I think you're able to say even section 4, 5, 8, 18 minutes upon, so that we're able to do the entire. So that we're going to come together in the next meeting or whatever, we outline our issues from this.
Okay.
Because we have to go back to a particular document and we need to what section, what the issues were saying.
So you don't think it's working? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take that 20 minutes, and then after 20 minutes, we'll come back to how we're going to finance this.
Chair, you know, today each one of us committee members has given an assessment of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we would have found useful was maybe either a report or some sort of summary from certainly from our legal advisor or from members, other staff members who were sitting there as well. So because I think it is a very complex bill, and it's the first time that some of us are actually dealing with legislation. And that's obviously why we have our legal advisor with us as well. But we actually haven't heard anything from, apart from our comments. And I really do think there should be some sort of submission or input, basically, from our staff members on the committee, basically.
Okay. Mr. Atkinson, that's why I asked the researcher to summarize. She made that summary. She sent it to all of us so that we could look at what people were saying against. Obviously, I took it that if the minister briefs us, these are the things that we're going to be looking at. And then we have the bill ourselves. It's very technical, I agree with you. But there are certain areas where we can perhaps come in and say, this is what we do. Where we feel we're not comfortable, for instance, in terms of analytical skill, we can ask our support staff to assist. We have the legal person here. If we're going to be asking the legal person now to say, really, on this particular issue, what do you think? I don't think it's going to help us, because now we are asking his opinion. I wanted them to deal with what people were saying. And it's up to us as members, because we are legislators.
Yeah.
We need to be the ones discussing the bill. And where we're going wrong, for instance, they would have an opportunity to come in and say, this is not what this bill intends, or your suggestion, for instance, has this implication. So that's where they come in. But as of now, our researcher did her work. She sent us that. If we want her to do further work, let's say it now, after having gone through. If we haven't gone through that document, we can say so that we start. We can, for instance, adjourn now and allow us to come back later. If you feel so. Because what is important is for all of us to be ready. It's for all of us to be ready so that we are able to engage on the submissions from all the people that have made the submission. What we cannot do is to begin to say and to rely to other people to do this work for us. We cannot do that. This is our process. We have to do it. As much as difficult it might be, that's why we have the support staff. Where we feel we need further help, we can still do so. If you need the minister to come back here to assist, or the state law advisor is here also, if we need assistance in whatever way, they are there. They are technical people. They have some legal expertise, they will be able to assist.
Mm-hmm.
We have the minister's advisor here, who, if we feel there's something that we're not clear on, he can also be able to assist. So this is how I want us to approach the whole thing. I just don't want to give them any opportunity to influence in whatever way. It has to be our process. That is clear. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you've properly explained what you expect us to be doing going forward. And the particular approach that you are referring to, those sections, we agree with that approach, Chairperson. But the thing is, we have just given an overview of our understanding of what transpired during the past 2 days. and we've just agreed now on a particular approach that we can use to try and take the process forward. For us to be able to do that effectively, I think, because it is coming now as a requirement, I think it is going to be necessary for us to say, now we've got a plan that we as the members must make sure that we implement, we put into practice, we'll get support wherever we're able to get support, but by and large you are the ones who must drive the process. And for us to do that, I think we're going to have to need a little bit of more time to go and now re-look at the documents, re-look at the documents prepared by the researcher against the submissions so that we can constructively be able to put something on the table like tomorrow. So my view is that for practical purposes, we should not necessarily try to proceed now, having identified a little bit of a technical blockade. We shouldn't try to proceed. Rather, let us agree that we are now in a better position to understand what we want to do. Then we go and get on that one. We can plan the next meeting, and we come and then we do our best.
Okay, thank you so much. I think that's a very clear suggestion. It's put on the table. Can we check if we agree with that? Okay, anyone who's against that, that we adjourn now, come back tomorrow. No one, eh? We all agree. Okay, let's meet.
I'm happy with that, Chair. Can you also give an indication of the rest of the week? You mentioned Thursday, which might be difficult because we've got the corporate meeting and then the DA stuff in the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. I said we allocated 3 days. Obviously, we all have a challenge on Thursday because we have caucuses. So we had hoped that Thursday was provisional in case we don't finish tomorrow. So now that we're banking today's work for tomorrow, is it the right way? School children bank work. Now that we deferred the work, today's work to tomorrow, we'll see how far we go to the whole day tomorrow. And then should we not finish tomorrow, then it means it's going to tamper with our plan. Yeah, we'll try and finish tomorrow. I don't think the amendments are that too many. Others are of a technical nature, but we might discuss tomorrow, even if it means finishing late, we may do that. So let's get ourselves that if we don't finish early, we might even finish late so that we don't come back on this day. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. The meeting then stands adjourned. Thank you so much. Can I have the ANC members remain?
Just after 9 minutes.
Thank you.